Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Let's go there. It says, "Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle." Now it says, begin to possess it. In the King James it says, and contend with him in battle. Contend with him. Now it says, the Amorite, the king of Heshbon and his land, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now, what is going to cause the difference between us and the churches that we found before, or the old church, is that we know that when God says he has given you something, you have to contend with the person who has it in battle. There is nothing, there is no position, there is nothing that God gives which does not have an occupant already. But he says, I have given it to you. Now, the old church would just say, praise God, and then they start calling David. Now, for us, we contend with the person who has it in battle. Now, that is the difference. Okay? There is no position, there is no throne, there is nothing that God gives that does not have somebody who is already occupying it. But he says, I have given it to you. And then he says, now rise up. Go and contend with the person who currently holds it in battle. And then now if you do, only then will you be in position to possess it. But there are so many things which you apparently possess, which the Lord gave you, but you are never going to see because you're not going to contend with anybody in battle. Now battle is not a pleasant thing to the flesh. But you have to do it. Otherwise, you end up with nothing. But then, God also gives you another advantage. On top of saying, I have given it to you. Now, you have to believe his word and say, now we are attacking these people. Because imagine you are Israel. You're coming from how many years of slavery in Egypt. And then he comes and is telling you something about established kingdoms. Kingdoms which have been there when you were in Egypt making bricks. But now he's telling you, go and contend with them in battle. If you were not to believe him, it looks like the most stupid thing. And for most people, it does look like the stupid thing. Now go to the next verse. He says, this day I will begin to put the dread and the fear of you upon the nations under the whole earth. So now the one thing you know that God has given you something is the people who have it are in fear. That's, I know it for a fact. Now, to the outside world, it might look like you are no hoper. But the people who have what God has given you start fearing you. And God has put that fear on them. And it does not make any sense because as far as the natural is concerned, they are fortified, they are big, they are all that, and you are nothing. But when God gives it, he puts a fear of you on them and says, upon the nations under the whole earth, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you? And God just makes them scared of you. And in actual sense, they should not be scared of you if you are to look at it in any other way. But the fear is from God because they know that they are possessing something which, you know, in the spirit is not theirs. Now, this is a challenge even for most of us here in the church today to believe things like that, that you are going to go and contend with somebody who is established, who has done all these things and all that, and you're going to go and contend with them in battle and you're going to win. Now, that's a challenge for so many people, even the people in our church here today. They really, really struggle to believe it. And now that's why, you know, the things in the Bible, somehow they come to pass as they were there. Because when you're on the brink of the promised land, that's where so many people fall off. and die in the wilderness. And you think that's going to be the case? This time it is going to be the case. Only those who actually choose to believe the word of God will decide, will go and contend. But otherwise, everyone here has a throne. Some will go and contend with the people who currently have it. Some will sit down and hope that life will treat them well. And they will never possess anything, nothing. You remain the way you are, just the way you are. Now, some of them even think that for us who want to go and contend, we are stupid. Then they say, Amnang, we have a family, we have what? We also have families. You see, eh? Now, by the way, let me tell you something. I want to understand one thing. And now this, I want this to enter your head today. And this is like elementary Christianity. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Says, the reason I'm calling it elementary is because he even calls it little children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I know you've heard that scripture so many times. But it does not say, greater are you than the people you're contending with. No. Greater is he that is in you. That's all that matters. So if God tells me to contend with Museveni, greater is he that is in me. Now, I don't have to believe that I'm greater than him. He's useless. Greater is he that is what? That one, there is no contention. I know he's in me, and I know who is in him. You understand? Now, if you struggle to believe that you're greater, it's okay. It does not say you're supposed to be greater. It says greater is he that is in you than he that is in him. Amen? Now, you don't have to. You see, there are certain things which people put themselves in. And this is all about who is in who. Like, there is no way you can convince me that anybody who serves the devil can stand in my way. It is impossible. Impossible. Because greater is he that is in me. It is not about me. Take away who is in me, and we know who would win that battle. Don't we? Yeah, but now, you cannot take away who is in me. And you cannot take away who is in him. And now that one, there is no contest. Praise the Lord. Now, every throne that you are, there is somebody there who, greater is he that is in you. That's all that matters. It does not say greater are you. You don't even have to believe you're great. You just have to believe it is he who is in you. Now, this is where the whole contention comes. So when he says, go and contend with those people in battle, he's saying that I am with you and I've already given you an advantage. I have put the fear of you on them. Now you start from there. But you see, if you don't contend with them in battle, you are not going to get anything. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to teach you some things here which are very tough today. Okay? And so that you understand how these things work. Because you see, throughout history, from where we stand, from the scripture, there have been people who stood up and believed that greater is he that was in them when they faced powerful empires. Okay? When they faced powerful kings, they always believed greater is he that is in them. Now, the reason I say little children, do you know what he says this is? That this is what, if you can believe that greater is he that is in you, if that's all you believe, that means you are a little child. In the spirit, you are like a little child, little children. Because say this, in 1 John, he describes different spiritual levels. You got 1 John 2:12. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the level of little children. Now, these are spiritual levels. He's not just talking. He's saying, I write to you, little children, because at least you know your sins have been forgiven. That is the entire of Christianity. Now, that's why I'm writing to you, little children. I've forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, there are some people who even are not yet at the level of little children. They are toddlers. Then he goes on to say, the next verse, I write to you fathers. Now, this is a different level. Because you have known him who is from the beginning. And the known that he is used here is the same known that is used when a husband knows his wife. So it's an intimate knowledge of God. The word which is used is the same one as used with so-and-so knew his wife. Now he says that that's what makes you fathers. Now, of course, there are so many people who allege that they are fathers and they don't even know. They are not yet even, they are less than even little children. But they are in the church masquerading as what? As fathers. Then he says, I write to you young men. Now, these are three different levels. There is little children, there is young men, and then there is fathers. Now, if you can actually believe that greater is in, no, I'm not saying believe that, greater is he that is in me. No. I'm saying actually believing that greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. And you can confront them with that fact in you that regardless of who you are and what you have, greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. Now, if you can actually get there, you've at least passed the level of little children. Or at least qualified to be little children. You're not a toddler. Praise the Lord. Now, so there are young men, there's little children, young men who are like teenagers. Okay? And then fathers. Now, the trouble is that there are so many teenagers who are masquerading to be. Let's say what teenagers are supposed to believe. I'm right to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, if you still think that you are... Have you ever seen going to those churches where they are... Like, they talk even about the devil more than God. They're always on the devil. They have not reached the level of young men. Because now, when you get to at least the level of young men, you know the devil is not an issue this side of the cross. Except, of course, in putting some, you know, the stumbling blocks here and there. But you know what? He can only use trickery and what, and then use people around you and so on. But you know you've overcome him when you get to the level of young men. Now, if you're still there, like those judges, start again. They're not yet at the level of young men. They are little children. They might not even be little children. They might be toddlers. Okay? So now, anyway, that was just a nyongeza. But now I'm telling you this. If you can believe that greater is he that is in you, to actually believe it, I'm not talking about, you see, believing affects the way you operate. You see, it's not just something you say, I believe. No, it's not like that. It's bigger than that. So anyway, go to Daniel chapter 3. Start from verse 15, I think. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? That is Nebuchadnezzar talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now, what these people knew that Christians today do not know is that greater is he that is in them than who that is in Nebuchadnezzar. It is not greater that are they than Nebuchadnezzar. They were not. Nebuchadnezzar was a king of 129 provinces. They are not greater than him. But that's not, they don't have to be. They only have to believe greater is he that is in us. You see, there is a difference. And then they stand up to him and say, no, we are not going to do it. Because, not that they say it, greater is he that is in me. You are Nebuchadnezzar, you have all these riches and what, but you still, inside you is still the devil. For me, inside me is still God. So greater is he that is in me. In me. Go to now verse 26. Now, these guys knew it. Then, even Nebuchadnezzar knew it. He didn't know, he knew they were not challenging him. That would be stupid. He knew they were, he says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He knew now that their God is higher than him, than his God, you see. Previously, he said, let us see which God this is who will save you from me. But now, he's saying, he's not calling them just Muribakabi. No, he's saying servants of the Most High God. Now we've proven that there is a God, you see. Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Go ahead. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, he did not say, blessed be Shadrach. No. Blessed be the God of Shadrach. This is the battle of gods. You see, people have to understand that even today, there is a battle of gods. So somebody comes to you and he believes in Bachwez. And how can I fear? How can I fear me? A servant of Jesus Christ? It's a battle of gods, not of men. And Nebuchadnezzar knew it. So he comes up and says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their God. Praise the Lord. Now, go ahead and see what he even went on to say. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything against the God, not against Shadrach, these are human beings, against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like him. Now, you have to give your God an opportunity to prove himself. But you see, you're so scared, you can't. And you don't know that he does not say greater. You know, you're not greater. Greater is he that is in you. And even the king knew it. This has nothing to do with these young men. They were his servants working for him in the kingdom. But they knew who was in them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, can you give your God an opportunity to prove himself? I'll tell you something. If you can't, I will. Because I know there is nothing that can defeat me. Nothing. Nothing. I don't think there has not been attempts. Nothing. You see, people who have decided to preach unbelief is the easiest thing to sell. Hey, Munanga, you're joking with these guys. They can take away your job. They can take away your what? They can do this. You know, I was talking to some pastor. Of course, I understand him because he's from those churches that, you know. So I tell him that when we were fighting the religious bill, he's saying, "Do you know Quran is a father Lokodo?" I told him, "But you man, don't you see that Lokodo is being used? There is somebody else behind Lokodo." Then he looked at me and said, "Of course I know." Then I said, "Then why don't you go for the person behind him? Why are you going for Lokodo?" He said, "Ah, Munang. Those guys." Then he told me, "When you start fighting them, suddenly your water bill goes up from 500,000 to 7 million. From what to, eh?" Then he starts telling me what they can do. And I look at him and say, "How come they don't do it to me?" You see, there is a place you put yourself. And you've placed yourself under them. If somebody can come and scare me, do you know what they can do to you? And I put myself there. That is the end of me. I can never put my... Like, I would stand to them. And when they challenge me, because I have not deliberate, I mean, I've not on my own put myself under them. Now, once I start fearing, I put myself under them. Then also you start fearing. Ah, Munange, they can do this. They can mess you up. They can whatever. They can poison your food. They can what? I don't put myself under them. And so I can never be under them. Greater is he that is in me. Praise the Lord. Greater is he that is what? Yeah, it's about who is in me and who is in them. It has nothing to do with greater than am I. No. Praise the Lord. Now I saw, of course, he has put himself under them in his mind. And that's where it all starts, in his mind. So somebody comes and says, "Ha, man, you're joking. These guys, hey, the things they can do to you, let them do them to me." And I've just started, by the way. You wait, you're going to see. Let them do them to me. They can't. My God. You people, when do you wake up and realize that you serve a living God? When do you know that your God is supreme and is in charge of everyone's next breath? How can I fear somebody? You see, and God has, that's why he tells Joshua, "God, do not fear." He says, "Have I not sent you?" Do you know who is sending you? Like, he wants you to always have it in mind that the person who sent me made heavens and earth. He's in charge of everybody's next breath. He decides who lives and who dies. Like, then he says, "Have I not sent you? Fear not. Do not be dismayed. You are going to share out this land to all these people, as I promised to Moses." And he's that statement by God, "Have I not sent you?" Like, you, by now he expects you to believe who he is. And says, "Remember who has sent you." Praise the Lord. Now, you see, everybody, people are being put in positions where they, "Ah, man, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage. Not be afraid, not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, for me, these words are all I need to hear. Praise the Lord. Because I magnify the Lord. I don't magnify anybody else. If the Lord called me and told me, "Go and take on Bill Gates,"
Like, I can't fear. Greater is he that is in me. That Bill Gates is the servant of the devil whom I step on. His master sees me and flees. How can I be fearful of his servant? Greater is he that is in me. Do you understand? Not greater am I than Bill Gates. No, greater is he that is in me. And that's how it is. And you have to understand it. So as long as God has sent me, and he says, have I not commanded you? I say, that's a komao. Say no more. If the Lord has commanded me, that's all I need. I know who is in me. I know whom I serve. I know whose servant I am. Praise the Lord. Now you think, of course there is a risk involved. It's not just, you don't just what? Now like that guy. They can mess up your water bill and what? How come they don't mess up mine? They have not stopped me from having a good life. Neither can they. But I'll show you how they try sometimes. Praise the Lord. Go to Exodus chapter 1. Start from verse 15. You see people come and say, aha, wait. That job of yours. Hey, they can talk to your bosses and they fire you. They can do what? They can, if you subject them, if you put yourself under them. But if you refuse, they can't. It's all about what is in your head. It says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other one was, what's that name? Eh? Pua, eh? But you see, now I've noticed that the Bible is specific about giving names to people who stood up. You see, so that the name remains. Because it could have said, spoke to the Hebrew midwives and moved on. But because I did something powerful, they are named, their names are put there, and God gives them eternal, you know, celebrity status. That even all these years later, we are talking about Shipra and Pua. You understand? Eh. Go ahead. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the bath stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then you shall, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. I mean, they are slaves. They could have feared Pharaoh, but they chose to fear God. Praise the Lord. That's why he even honors them by putting their names in the word. He says they feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Go ahead. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, now imagine, these are just midwives. Then you get a command straight from the king, do this. And you say, no, I will not do it because I fear God. Then the guy even calls you and says, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Of course, not all of that was entirely true. Okay, go ahead. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mightily. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Praise the Lord. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter, you shall save alive. Now, I want to introduce something to you here, which is so important. Pharaoh first told the Hebrew midwives themselves to kill their own people. His servants all through do the same thing. They try as much as possible to use you to fight you. Amen? Now, if they want to fight me, they will get people who are part of me. Not because they are nearer. No, there is a reason. That's how the devil does. Because the person who comes to you has the same God that what? That you have. Only he's stupid. But still he has the same spirit that you have. You understand? And he's born again, but he's a spy. He's spying for the devil. So you see now the midwives, Pharaoh could have told these people at the beginning, I forget these midwives, kill all the sons. No, he tries first with the midwives. Then the midwives refused. And as the Bible says, Pharaoh got angry with them and killed them. No, there is nobody who obeys God and die. Like you people, God is supreme. Some of you need to be introduced to God. You see, he says he rewarded them with families. In another thing, it says families. Yeah, it says households. God rewarded them because they feared. Now, you see, God knows that you could have feared Pharaoh, but you chose to fear him. Now, he will always protect you. Praise the Lord. Even against who? Because he knows that you put your life in danger in order to do the right thing. So he will always save you. Always, always. Like, you have to believe in the God. You know, it's useless for you to come here. We talk about God and you think he's just some human being. And you will believe everything around you. And you don't know that God is supreme. So now, after Pharaoh had failed with trying to kill the Hebrew children using Hebrews, that is always their first tactic. Try to kill them using what? Them. Get one of them to kill them. So that is not a battle of gods. It's just a battle of those who are wise and those who are stupid. You understand? But now if it comes from outside, then now God has to come in. Because greater is he that is in you. But now what happened if it comes from somebody from within? This Ronald now is fighting me. He has the Holy Spirit as much as I do, isn't it? So now the thing of greater is he does not apply. And the devil prefers that. Praise the Lord. Let me show you somewhere else where it is in scripture. Go to Judges chapter 15. Start from verse 9. It says, now the Philistines went up, encamped in Judah, and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etham and said to Samson, do you not know that Museveni rules over us? What is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so have I done to them. But they say to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. Because he knows his anointing was against the Philistines, not against his own people. So he says, it's okay, arrest me, but don't kill me. You just take me to them. You understand? I understand what I'm saying. So he says, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. Go ahead. So they spoke to him saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand. But we will surely not kill you. So he says, okay, in that case you tie me. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. It wouldn't come when he's among his fellow people, Judah. That's why he says, you can tie me even with chains if you want, but don't kill me yourselves. And no, we'll not. Just take me to the Philistines. Yes, we'll take you to the Philistines. Then that's okay. I will go there and handle them. So now, when he went to the Philistines, because his anointing was to fight Philistines, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax, which is burnt with fire. And his bones broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Now imagine that. You know, Samson, I'm trying to tell you people something here. That if you don't be stupid enough to be used by those people, if they want me, let them come for me. Amen? Let them come for me. I'm here. Then we shall see what will happen to them. You think there is any moment in my life when I stand there and I'm fearful of them? No. But like Samson, sometimes I fear for my own brethren. Because they will try to use them. And I know some here whom they use. Let me tell you, this week I have suffered, these past few weeks, I have suffered a lot of betrayal. Some people whom I now know are being used by the enemies. Some of them even, they broke my heart. You say, even you? And like, you're like, man, what's wrong with people? Let me tell you something. If you don't believe in what we are doing, don't come here. Just leave and go. Go. Because something will come on you, by the way. Because now, I have been just courteous to this. That's how they are. He's looking for some money and what. But now I'm beginning to change. And I'll pronounce things on people. And some of you will need to that happen for you to know that I'm actually a servant of God. Because you think, man, you know, they come and tell you. And first of all, somebody comes and tells you, this guy is this and that, and you believe that. And you put yourself under them. Then they start sending you. Go and find out this. Go and find out this. Let me tell you. There are consequences for these things. And I am not just going to keep quiet any longer. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Paul, the apostle of grace, said something. The grace apostle said something. He said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he said, Alexander the coppersmith, put your name there if you aspire, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Now, this is what is going to happen to them. And some of them, you will see them when they start going down like this. I am telling you, now I've released it, you wait, you will see. Because people have hurt me. People whom you trusted. Now, you just tie me and take me to them. Don't betray me yourself. Let me just talk like Samson. You leave me to them. Since they have what? Let them come for me. Where should they send you? You don't have an army. They are the ones who have the army. Let them come. They have prisons, they have judges, they have apparently money and what. Let them come. But you see, they are cleverer than that. And by the way, I'll tell you this. God has already put the fear of me on them. They know it. And I wish you'd know some of the discussions which they even come and tell me, you know, now, let us do this, what. You know, we can work together and what. Ordinarily speaking, what do I have? You see, nothing. But they know. They know. Now, if you don't know, you are going to go down. Now, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Now, I'm saying that to any one of you who is a spy here. But you have a chance to go away and go and do your rubbish from somewhere else. I would rather speak to 5 people who understand what I'm saying and who are ready to believe God as supreme rather than speak to crowds of people who are just there like this. I'm seeing some of them here. And I've known them all along. But you see, as we get closer to certain powerful times, I want you to understand. You see, New Testament, there is all this grace and what. But Ananias and Sapphira were in the era of grace. When things are serious and you start bringing siru, men will carry your body. Anyway, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Start from verse 16. Let me tell you something. I know what God has given me. And I'm going to contend with people in battle. And battle doesn't mean like what. But I'm going to contend. You might think that I don't have the means. Wait and see. Wait and see. I'm proclaiming it in front of you. Wait and see. I cannot fail. Greater is he that is in me. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. Okay? And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Now I speak this upon any spy who is here. Judgment. That is from David. I'm getting it from the scriptures. If you don't want to, just leave. Leave. Go away. Because you will not suffer as long as you are away. You have the right to be on any side, but you don't have the right to come and be near me and bring yourself near me, yet you're actually there to spy. David says, if you have come to be with me, okay. But if you've come to betray me to my enemies, then since there is no wrong in my hand, and that is also true for me, by no wrong, it means I am pursuing what God has told me to do. May the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Now, some of you are going to lose your jobs which you hold so dear because you're spying on me. And I'm talking and I know one person whom I know. But I've given him a short time to leave and don't come back here. Him. And I've known him for a while, but I just keep quiet. You see, eh? You see, in some of these things, you let things pass until the time comes when you cannot let it pass any longer. For instance, there's some guy who came here with fake visions and fake dreams, and he confused so many of you that I'm praying for you. Give me money. Have I ever asked anybody for money? How many of you can say I asked you for money? I have never asked anybody for money. Never. Even when I was broke, I cannot. When I need money, I pray to God. Now, how can somebody come here and then he comes and tells you, I'm praying for you, give me money? Do you know how many times I pray for all of you? Do I come and demand for money? And I've been praying for you, Robert. You didn't even be having that suit if it wasn't what? For my prayers. So now give me money. A fake guy. Then he would come and give me some fake visions and I look at him. But he confused some of you. He confused you until at some stage I decided well, I had had enough of him. And some of you are even calling him prophet, prophet. Like some of you are so easy to confuse, my God. Then you give him money and it affects your finances. You see, there are certain people whom you have, who have to be helped. And now that's how the old church was, where there's some old woman there who is, Nkusabira, give me money. You are broke, pray for yourself. How can you tell me you're praying for me? When for me I have money and you're broke, pray for yourself. Do you understand? And you see, some people are still like, now somebody the other day came to me, they didn't have rent. Man, they are chasing me out of the house, give me some rent. These people pretend to be spiritual. You know, there is a lot of stupidity which goes on in the church. Eh? Then I got money and gave the person. That's okay. They are going to pay for your house. The persons are saying, now, as if trying, eh? That's okay. Then the person like wants to speak a blessing over me. I say, eh? You don't have rent. What are you blessing me? You are blessing me so that I also don't have rent. Just say thank you very much and go and pay. Get us a student nyumba, but let me kuko bamu nyumba. Don't waste my time. But you see, there are certain people who try want to make things, you know. Like, God bless you. How do you tell me God bless me? So that I become like you. Hebrews 7:7 says, let me teach you some of you. Don't ever tell me God bless me. You're not higher than me. You are not. None of you here is. You are not even close. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. I am the one to tell you God bless you. And that counts for something. Amen? You telling me doesn't actually, you are just putting a curse on yourself. You bless me? Now, with beyond any contradiction, the greater is the one who blesses the lesser. Praise the Lord. Beyond any what? In other words, this one is not up for debate. That's what it means. So if I give you money to pay rent, just say thank you very much, Papa, and go and pay your rent. But you see, because you don't want to thank me, you want to make it look like I'm sowing it. Sowing it to you? How stupid can you be? If I was to sow into you in a short time, I would also not have rent. You cannot give what you don't have. Amen? Now, if you come and sow money to me and I say, God bless you, that counts for something. But you can't tell me God bless me. Who are you? Then somebody comes and says, I'm now, we are praying for Papa. Praying for me? Pray for yourself. You're broke. Now that so-called prophet even went to our school's ministry and went and told students that they should give him tithe. Can you imagine? And he's destroying our... How do you go to students and tell them to give you tithe? And he's destroying our school's ministry. Because the teachers say, hey, what sort of people are these? Who come to minister to our students and they're asking for money? And he fooled some of you. Some of you are even still on a WhatsApp group with him. I'm giving you a warning. If you make contact with him, you lose my cover. Because see, some of you have to be protected like children. That's why I saw what, then I saw what. There's a vision he told me and I just wanted to laugh. Eh? But you see, sometimes I keep quiet and just let it pass. Eh? Somebody, and so many people come and tell me stupid things. Eh? Now the other day, another guy came and told me about what, over when he was 9 years old, over he saw what. And I'm looking at him. I was tired. I was up there seeing people. And I was tired. So when he started, I just realized. So I was even dozing. So I sent for a cup of coffee. And the guy was still talking. But I don't want to. But now, where we have gone. Judgment, as David says, if you've come to be with me, okay. If you've come to betray me to my neighbors, may the Lord look and judge you. Because I don't fear those people. If you fear them, go and fear them. Go to their toilets and go and fear them from there. Like Samson, promise you not kill me yourselves. The Philistines, it's okay, just take me to them. I know how I'll handle them. But you yourselves don't kill me. They said, okay, we promise. Are you sure? Okay, you tie me. Now, If they had killed him, they would have killed him. The power would not have come. But as soon as he goes among the Philistines, then the anointing takes over. Then with one jawbone, he kills 1,000 and then throws it away. Praise the Lord. Now, some of these things, some of you people are going to learn tough lessons here today. Because there's a lot of stupidity which goes on in the churches. Stupidity goes on, you know what, and all that. And if you've chosen to disbelieve, you know, we used to have some CRI teacher when I was in Olive. The guy used to like saying, some Muzungu man, he was an Irish guy. The guy used to like saying, if you have nothing to do, don't do it from here. So, that's how some of you are going to be. If you want to disbelieve God, and you are, just don't do it from here, go and do it from somewhere else. Because I know there is a reason those people want to come to your own people, as I've shown you. Amen? Go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Go ahead. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Go ahead. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses sworn that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me out. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. In other words, because these people believed God, and he told them that they would enter the promised land, and he gave the other people 40 years to wander in the wilderness, God stopped the aging process of Joshua and Caleb, because he didn't want them to enter the promised land when they are old and frail. So Caleb is saying, I was 40 years old when we went to spy the land. Now I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as strong. Okay? And I still can go to battle, and all my strength for battle is exactly the way it was when I was 40 years old. Because God, he did not want them to partake in the sins of the other people who are disbelieved. So he says, okay, I've given these people 40 years to wander in the wilderness and die, but for you, because you've obeyed me and because you've believed me, so pause on your years. So 40 years pass and you're exactly the way you were. He says, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Go ahead. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. The Anakim were the sons of what? Of the giants. Okay? So you heard in that day how the sons of the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Now, here is the thing. When Joshua was going to attack these cities, even now, even as it was now, first go to the previous verse. Get it in King James, this one, 14:12. It says, the cities were great and fortified. Here it says, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. Praise the Lord. Now, there are places which are great and fenced, but which God is giving to us. You see, eh? And Joshua and Caleb says, if God is with me, I will go and drive them out. It doesn't talk about him. It's talking about if God is with me, and if you bless me now as his leader. At that time, Moses was his leader. Now, as you as my leader, if you bless me, I will go and drive them out. But the cities are great and fenced. Now, the positions we are going to take are fenced for certain people. Okay? They have fenced them for the sun. They are fooling themselves. Kableta is here. I can assure you, as sure as the Lord my God lives, you wait and see. The cities are great and fenced, but they cannot, just don't be one of the people who is working with them, because you are going to be cast, you will see. If you are one of them, just leave, don't come back here. And now it will not work if you leave immediately. When you step out of here and go, don't come back here. Then you will survive. If you keep on wanting to come back here and place spy here, okay. The cities are great and fenced. For certain people, you are not supposed to be one of them. You are an outsider. But he says, if so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said, praise the Lord. I shall be able to what? That is true for every one of you. Like the places you want are fenced. They are fenced. There are people who are, this is our territory. And they are so determined to keep a hold on it. So first of all, you have to believe that greater is he that is in you. If you don't believe that, then you're even worse than the little children. Not greater are you than them. Greater is he that is what? That is in you than he that is in them. Now that he who is in you is greater, go with confidence and say, the cities are great, fortified, and fenced. But God is with me, and I'm going to drive them out. Praise the Lord. Now, if after I've told you all these words, you still go and be the same, like, then I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Maybe you first go and come and dive in water and wake up, then you will give you the ghost. Because now we've talked, but some of you will wait until we reach there, then you say, yeah, praise the Lord. And then I will tell you, no, I don't know you. You see, there are some people who want to be sharp. They want to be here. And then I said, I'm Nang. You know, like those guys of what? Of that scripture of Gideon. Gideon, Judges chapter, I think 6 or 7. When he goes and tells them that I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalumna, king of the Midianites. Get us that scripture. So give me some food. Then they say, first go and get Zeba and Zalumna. Then come to us and we shall give you what? Food. I will not need your food that time. Praise the Lord. I will not need your food when I'm in state house. But if you have it now, give it to me. Praise the Lord. Some of you think I'm dreaming. You wait, you'll see. Like there are people in church who have no faith. Like who don't believe in God. Man, they don't. They just, you know, just go to heaven. First go a bit behind. Then Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him, crossed over, exhausted but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalumna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalumna now in your hand that we should give you bread? But they should give bread to your army. So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalumna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Now today we are being very serious from the scripture. Then he went up from there to Peniel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. Do you have them? Are you already there? That I'm pursuing. Totunyumiza. Tonyumia. First go and get it, then you come and we talk. When I get there, I won't need you. This is the only opportunity you would. Anyway. So he spoke to the men of Peniel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalumna were in Kakor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left with the army of the people of East. 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Now imagine these people. Gideon was already like three-quarter way to destroying the Midianites. But still, they didn't believe him. They said, we don't have any bread to give you. He didn't even ask them to come and let us go and fight. No, he said, just give me bread. We are tired. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents, the east of Naban, And he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. Then Zeba and Zalmunna fled. He pursued them and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle, from the ascent of Heres. And he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him. And he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. This is not what I'm going to do. Then he came. Some of you are going to get it. But I'm reading the scripture, the word of God. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna." Now you told me, first get them and we talk. He said, "Okay, here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary men?" And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth a lesson. That one I might do, but the one of kidding I will not do. But some people have to be taught a lesson. Now you think I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm not. Like, I don't want the people whom you're working for, they claim to be powerful. Let them come for me themselves. Why should they use you? Let me tell you something. There is some cashot lawyer like this whom they sent to spy on me. Very stupid young man. Now, when he was with me during the campaigns, you know him. He had acquired some clout. He was even calling himself the godfather and what. And people were taking him seriously. But because he was with me, now when I chucked him, the people who had recruited him are the first ones to chuck him because he was of no use any longer. Because he could no longer spy on me. The next thing I knew, he had lost his job, lost what? He was even begging for bread. Then when I heard that he was begging for bread, I decided to go and pray for him. And I said, okay, now what happened, but now, Lord, please restore him. But now I'm not going to pray those prayers again. By the way, he was restored and he went back to his old ways and he was hammered again. Let me tell you, the penalty for, don't think you're going to be any different from Judas Iscariot. Betrayal always hits you hard. I'm telling you, it will hit you hard. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Go away. Just live your life. If you don't believe, you have a right not to believe in anything I'm saying. Like, just me. Amen? Now, I went and prayed for him because I said, man, this is tight. But you see some people, then at some stage when things were tight, he sent me a message saying, Mao, let me what, you know, wah, wah, wah. But I sensed his heart was still dark. You know, it takes a certain level of dark heart to betray somebody who trusted in you. This is somebody whom I would even go home in the village and he sleeps in my mother's house. But he's there working for my enemies. You think you can do that and you get away with it? You cannot. You cannot. I'm telling you, you cannot. And when the Lord starts hammering you, those guys who recruited, you are not interested. When he was begging for bread, you think they were interested? They were not. And he messed up some people, some of whom are still here. Let me tell you, all the people who he worked with, many of them went and never came back. Even those who are still around, their heart is still not. And that's the problem with some of these things. When people get fooled and they go away, even when they realize they were fooled, they never really come back. They stay somewhere halfway there like that. They can come back if they wanted to, but they stay somewhere half there. Now, betrayal is the same. There was a guy who was called Ahithophel in the days of David, who was known as a great counselor. And he was David's personal counselor. Somebody who David would get, you know, counsel from. And the scripture says the counsel of Ahithophel was as one had inquired of the oracles of God. You know, when somebody has counsel, and when not prophetic word, a counselor, and when he gives you counsel, it's like you've spoken to God. That's what the Bible says. Get us that thing, Ahithophel. Like the counsel of Ahithophel was like one had inquired of the oracles of God. Now, you see, people don't understand there's even a ministry of counsel where you ask somebody for advice, and his advice is like you're speaking to God. And it's anointed advice. And the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now, when Absalom betrayed David and wanted to take over the kingdom, Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, went and started now advising Absalom. And he betrayed his master. Eventually committed suicide, just like Judas. He did what? Just like who? Don't play with betrayal. Don't play with betrayal. When somebody trusts you and brings you close, and you choose from within there, don't play with betrayal. And I'm telling you, if I had not prayed for that guy, it was going to be very, very bad. I am telling you the truth. Now, he confused some of you who are still here. But if I had not prayed for him, it was going to be very bad. Because betrayal will always happen, as Jesus said. But it would have been better for that person if he had not been born. Imagine now when Jesus says that. That it is better that you, it would be better for Judas that he was not born. That is tight. And now these things have to happen. The scripture, that means anybody who is pursuing the will of God has to be betrayed. Standard. Just don't let it be by you. Amen? There will always be people who betray me. Just don't be the one. And I'm not making myself to be all that, but I'm doing the will of God. Praise the Lord. I'm doing the will of who? That is, there is no doubt about that. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the last time I'm talking about this betrayal thing. But, as David said, if you are with me, then if you are not, may God look upon you and judge you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. That was David. He said, because there is no evil in me. Okay. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and rose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. Man, this is scripture. Praise the Lord. This is what? Okay. Those are maze. Because I see people are very quiet and very sad. If you are too quiet, I would think you are the betrayer. Because why are you scared? Why are you scared? If you are not a betrayer, why are you scared? Which is different from a mistake maker or whatever, all those things. But you know, betrayal, real betrayal. Then there's no need to be sad. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then the other day, one betrayer came and what? And I wish I could say some of these things, but of course I don't want to. Then they started sending me fake dreams. That's why I dreamt when your water was impure. That's what I've remembered. And I said, when your water was, what? Then I didn't want to tell you the dream, but I was convicted. But man, some people are so crazy. And then they forge dreams. Anyway, praise the Lord. But God is with us. Amen. And now some of you are betraying me. Like, when my thing comes to pass, you will enjoy. You are one of the beneficiaries. Why do you betray me? You think I'm going for myself? I'm going for the kingdom, praise the Lord. I'm going for what? It's for everybody's benefit. Man, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, as I said, let them come. Don't let them use you. Let them come for me themselves. They have army, they have what, they have prisons, they have where they are, which are visited. They have. Let them come for me. Then I will tell them, greater is he that is in me. But now if they use you to come for me, I cannot tell you that. Because also you have what? The same spirit. So I cannot tell Robert, greater is in me that I'll be my visitors. But let them come. And I say, you've come for me, you will see. Then I get a jawbone. Pam, 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 1,000 down. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Watchman Ministry Grounds along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 0800-292-555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @B_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.